We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
And it is a final from Chicago, and the results are not good. The game ends, and the series ends with a 4-1 Brewers loss. And welcome, everybody. It is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios, Jeff Orlowski. And Nick Bodie as well, as the Brewers fall 4-1 in this one. They lose the series. And we'll take your reaction at 414-799-1250. It certainly wasn't a 15-inning affair. But
no, thankfully.
It sort of felt like one from the offensive perspective. It felt like the game yesterday. It really did. Offense, where you at? Here's one thing the rest of – I should keep this to myself, honestly. Here's an inside trader secret to beat the Brewers. First of all, you throw a lefty at them. And secondly, you get it to rain. You get inclement weather. Because wind blowing in rain and facing a lefty, Brewers ain't scoring jack. They're not. And we saw it this series. Even going back to the Friday Brewers 7-0 victory, it was still some dinks and dunks in that game. Their offense completely disappeared in this series. And that includes Friday. Guys, go back and look at the box scores. There's just a lot of paper cuts in that game late. They were, again, it's they put up seven. I'll give them credit for that. Where were the hits? They were there here tonight, what, nine hits? Couple of walks, what, three walks, nine hits. Where were the hits with runners in scoring position? Yesterday, you look at a 15-inning affair, they were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Now, on the surface, you would say, well, that's not, I mean, it's three. In 15 innings, you had a runner at second or third base with an at-bat? In 15? Tonight, first and third, nobody out, and you can't get a run in? Wow. First and third, the very next inning with two outs, you can't get a run in.
Yeah.
Now, again, they did strike the ball decent at times, but you have to look at the results here in this one. The rain and cold does not suit the Brewers well. You saw late in the game here today that just some moderate fly balls. If the ball isn't carrying, the Brewers aren't going to win. They need to hit home runs. And they just didn't get any.
It seems that way, Timmy. They, this offense, man, it's been ugly the last, 24 plus?
24 innings.
Yeah.
For 24 innings, you have two runs on the board.
Yeah.
That's at Wrigley Field?
Painful.
Now, give some credit to the opposition in throwing those lefties at the Brewers. Joe Maddon's got it figured out, dude. I can tell you one thing. It will be rare the rest of the year that the Brewers face a right-hander in a Cubs uniform.
Oh, yeah.
So they better learn how to fix it. Yesterday's game, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, too, that what's with the rollovers? What's with the rollovers to the right side of the diamond? Lefty-lefty matchup. Christian Yelich finally started to figure things out today in going the other way, and it paid off for the Brewers with an error by Schwarber. We may have found someone that is just as bad as Eric Thames in the outfield.
Schwarber might be worse.
They're right there, man.
You know, even a can of corn is a freaking mystery out there. The only guy that I've ever seen play a worse outfield is Glenn Allen Hill. You remember him?
I do.
Oh, man, was, you know, that was exciting, any ball that went his way, because you had no idea what he was going to do out there.
I'm just wondering what the Brewers could have done differently in this series to get it done. They didn't. Now, don't blame the pitching, although I'll blame a pitching move here a little bit in this one. But nonetheless, overall in the series, you can't beat giving up six runs to the Chicago Cubs in this series. Six in three games, and you lose the series. That just shouldn't happen. Man, that should not happen. That offense, get it together. Nice to see Zeus, however, starting to push things a little bit. A couple of hits, a run knocked in. He was in a tough spot there late in the ball game, first and third, and two outs. But, again, he's coming on, so that's a good thing. Yelich got a base hit. Mike Moustakas, where are you, buddy?
Yeah, he's been striking out a bunch.
Wow.
0 for 4, 2 Ks today.
Yeah.
You know, and in a big spot, too. What'd they have? Runners on the corners, nobody out, and he struck out?
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second here. Our game notes. If you want to respond to a question, and that is, what could the Brewers have done differently to get this series victory? You don't expect a sweep. Nobody expects a sweep, right? I mean, you want one. You can't expect it in any way. Even if you win the first two games of a series like this, you don't expect it. So what could they have done to win either yesterday or today's game? 799-1250. In the first inning today, you never know. And again, I am so in love with this game of baseball that I find little things that make the difference. Now, years ago, I wasn't as isolated on a particular event that happened in the game, or a play, or a misplay, or a moment. I'm enjoying every moment of these games because there are certain things that happen you don't believe at the time that it's going to make a hill of beans difference. But I force myself these days to say, hey, man, note this down. Take a note. This could have an impact on this baseball game. So we start right away in the first inning. I don't know if anyone noticed it. Lorenzo Cain leads off with a base hit. And the reason it was a base hit and not a leadoff double, did you see this, Orlovsky?
I did.
He missed first base. And you're thinking, at the time, you're thinking, wow, oh, come on. It's still a hit. He's still on base to lead off the game. Well, then a double play ground ball.
Yep. Continuing where they left off yesterday with the double plays.
Almost immediately. I mean, it just right away out of the chute, man. That should have been a leadoff double. Roll over to the right side, moves him to third, sets up Zeus to knock him in. One zip Brewers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen. So you earmark that as a little bit of an issue. And that's, you know, I'm with counsel on this thing. Things that happen early in a game tend to sort of tell the difference in a game. And I'm not blaming that play. Don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not blaming that play. But when you compound the issues, and we'll get to that in just a second here, a little misfortune early. Let's call it that, as Joe Block would say. Cubs then, right away in the bottom half as the Brewers don't score, with one out, an Orlando Arcia error. Then a base hit, first and second, one out. Again, misfortune, you get the error, then you get a wild pitch. Now we're thinking, you know, some part of you had to be saying, ain't no way the Brewers, you're not feeling a Brewers victory today already.
Yeah, you're thinking, not our day.
Not really. A bounce out for the fielder's choice RBI, then a walk, and then a pop-up to get out of that first inning. 25 pitches for Chacin. One zip to the second inning. Stays that score through two. Leadoff man on again. By the way, the Brewers had a base runner in every single inning except two. Just saying. We go into the third inning. Leadoff hitter on again for the Brewers in the third. Strike him out, throw him out, double play in that inning. Cain was at the plate. Cubs get a couple of runners aboard, bottom of the third, thanks to the second error of the game. This one by HP, but Chacin muscles through a strikeout to Contreras and a ground ball by Schwarber. So you can't blame Chacin for his performance tonight, for sure. The crew gets on the board to tie the game in the fourth inning. Yelich leading off, reaches on a three-base error by, your boy, Schwarber out there. That's a trip to Hollywood out there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a three-base error, and Zeus knocks him in with the RBI base hit. And later on in the inning, infield singles by Gamble and HP load the bases, but two outs, Orlando grounds out. They did make Lester pitch. He was about the 70 mark through four innings of work. Chacin, a zero in the bottom of the fourth, a nice shutdown inning. It was eight of a beautiful play, a double play by Chacin. And the Brewers go in order in the fifth inning, tied at one. Lead goes back to the Cubs. Bottom half, after two outs, a couple of strikeouts by Chacin, then a base hit, a soft contact base hit by Bryant, and then an RBI double by Baez. So it's 2-1 right there. Golden opportunity in the sixth. Leadoff double by Zeus. Grandal then reaches on a base hit. First and third, nobody out. And are you kidding me? Moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Mike Moustakas, a rough series, strikes out on three pitches.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get it in play.
That was ugly. Just ugly.
Well, then the next batter, it's a fielder's choice because they threw Jesus Aguilar out at the plate. Now, again, we lead back to moments in a game, things that happen in a game. You don't think they're going to make a huge difference, but they do. In the game of baseball, it does happen. Zeus was thrown out at the plate, a fielder's choice, ground ball in the infield. Baez goes to the plate to nail Zeus. And what's interesting, we'll play you some audio from ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball telecast as Alex Rodriguez, he sort of picked this play apart. Check this out.
So we talked about Javi Baez and the great play on the back end. But on the front end, I want you to focus on Aguilar's footwork or lack thereof. Focus on this last inning right here. It should be 1-2-3. And as the ball's hit, you should have momentum going in. Look at the flat foot. Flat footed completely, then has to get started. As a shortstop, you see that. And it's just an easy out when it should be 2-2, instead it's 2-1.
Alex, that's a big boy too. If you're gonna stop all that momentum and then try to get it going, it's one thing if you're the speed of Javier Baez or the speed of any of these the faster runners, but when you're Jesus Aguilar, you need that momentum, and you pointed it out, he was at a standstill.
It's the difference between good and great, and these are the kind of games you need to win in the postseason. It's all about the small things and the nuances. Coaching, coaching, coaching. It's not just analytics. You got to coach a little bit, and you got to play the game.
Yeah, and you do have to coach, and there's ESPN Sunday Night Telecast breaking down that play. Isn't it sort of a given? I mean, sometimes we have a lapse in judgment, and I get that. I do, you do, we all do. He does. Maybe this was just that situation for Zeus. But, man, your momentum on the base pass is about timing. It's when to start your jump. You're okay, man. The guy's in his motion. He can't throw to third. He can't pick you off. There's nothing he can do. You're moving toward the plate or the next base. And how in the world he didn't have movement toward the plate when the ball's on its way? I don't understand. I don't get it. Neither did A-Rod right there.
Yeah.
He pointed that out. There's a moment right there. You see how moments affect a baseball game. You see how Craig Counsell manages a baseball game when you're one run down, tied, or one run up. Huge, huge difference. And that made the difference right there. As the Brewers trailed then 2-1, Gamble then lined out to center field to end that inning. First and third, nobody out. They can't plate the run right there. Scoreless bottom of the sixth for Yolis Chacin. Gets through six, giving up a couple of runs, just one earned. And the Brewers with an opportunity in the seventh inning After two outs, Lorenzo Cain walks, Yelich then with a base hit, put runners at first and third. And that's it for Lester right there. 116 pitches for Lester. They made him work. Kinsler comes in. Aguilar's at the plate. Single, double, RBI to this point, and on a 2-2 count, he goes down looking. Hey, what are you going to do, man? Offense scuffling. Adrian Hauser comes in. Here's the deal here. That's a one-run game, Craig. It's Adrian Hauser? Nothing against Adrian Hauser. I like the dude. It's a one-run game. You can steal this thing. And it's Adrian Hauser? What are you going to do tomorrow with Freddie Peralta? Right out the window, right? The success and the recipe you had for Freddie Peralta last week in an Adrian Hauser open and a Freddie Peralta middle.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because he didn't use Hauser yesterday. And so he's going to use him today. I would imagine that maybe Wilkerson or something, you know, gets called up, and that's your opener tomorrow.
It could be. It could be. But, it could be Jacob Barnes again.
Yeah, you know, but I...
Who they called up for Burt Smith today.
I just don't understand how you don't use Hauser yesterday, and then you're going to use him and use him for two innings today. You know, it just... It didn't make much sense.
So Hauser's in, and he gives up a base hit, and then he has one out, first base open, and Chris Bryant, who's on fire.
Yeah.
And you throw a fastball right down the middle to Chris Bryant on a 3-1 pitch.
Right down Broadway.
It's Adrian Hauser. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he hits it out, 2-run shot, 4-1. The game's over at that point, and the Brewers fall 4-1. They give up 6 runs in the series. Okay, there's the good news. The Brewers pitchers gave up 6 runs in the series, and one of the games was 15 innings.
Yeah.
What could they have done differently to win this? The correction of the game, brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I'm going to tell you, it's not Adrian Hauser for me. It's Alex Claudio. It's Jeremy Jeffress that was up. You keep that game a one-run game right there, and you give yourself a shot at it. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall in this game, and they lose the series. They're 3-3 head-to-head against the Cubs this year, so they're toe-to-toe with the Cubs, and their record now falls to 24-18, still pretty good. As the road trip continues, and they're going to head to Philadelphia where there's more rain.
Yeah.
More rain in the forecast for tomorrow. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. It doesn't, not looking well for the crew.
I'm curious, what could the Brewers have done to have a few better results here? 799-1250 to Oak Creek. We say hello to Brian. Brian, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Yeah, hi. The thing that I've noticed in the last two games is that, the Cubs are trying to get a base hit, and we're just trying to go out there and get home runs. It's like, you can't hit home runs in the rain. That's what we're trying to do right now.
Chris Bryant did. But, yes, I understand what you're saying, Brian.
Contreras did. I mean, HP did, Vaughn did. So there were some.
Yesterday was bad for me. I was going on the Hiawatha down to Chicago. I didn't get there until, I was supposed to get there at 12:29. I didn't get there until 1:20. I didn't make first pitch for me until the sixth inning.
All right. And well, still, you got nine innings in. Do the math, man. You got your nine innings.
Yeah, but they only served beer for an inning and a half while he was there.
That's true.
They served beer into the ninth inning.
Oh,
okay.
They do?
That must be new.
Yeah. Wow. Ryan, what would you have done differently? So just more small ball?
Yeah, just get bases instead of trying to get that home run.
All right, very good. Thank you. 799-1250. Yeah, we did notice that as well. And they did give credit to the Chicago Cubs offense for doing just that, Brian. It's very astute in noticing that.
Well, what about Lorenzo Cain? This is two games in a row that he's swung and he's fell down. He's dropped to a knee.
Yeah, I mean...
And it happens, but two games in a row from Lorenzo Cain, who's a professional hitter. You know, like, it looked the little Carlos Gomez-ish, and I'm not comparing the two.
Little Javi Baez looking like.
Absolutely, because yep. Lorenzo Cain is, you know, 8 million times the ball player and hitter that Carlos Gomez ever was or ever would be. So, you know, don't get it twisted that I'm comparing the two. Lorenzo Cain's head and shoulders better, but it's not a good look.
Yeah, I just believe, I'll tell you one of the things, and I've got a few things here, what the Brewers could have done differently. Go the other way against lefties. Knock it off. If you're looking middle and away, lefty-lefty matchup, I'll promise you better results. Now, again, I mean, I'm not a better hitter than Christian Yelich is or Mike Moustakas. Don't get me wrong. I've just watched a million games of baseball.
You're better than Travis Shaw.
Lefty, lefty, middle, away. It's, I mean, Christian Yelich will admit that to you. Craig Counsell mentioned it on the broadcast tonight when they were interviewing him. He started as a left-handed hitter going away. Everybody wants to be pull happy, and I get that. There are times, fine. But against a tough condition ballpark, a tough condition weekend, more so than ever, facing lefties, and you're a heavy-duty left-handed lineup, you got to go middle and away, guys. Come on. 799-1250 to Bill. Bill, what can you add to this conversation about what would you have done differently to have different results here?
What I would have done differently goes back to yesterday. I would not have taken Hernan Perez out and put Shaw in. I think there's too much made of this left-handed versus right-handed. You've got a batter who's at least hitting the ball. He hits a home run. You wind up with guys in scoring position with the guy that you substituted. Shaw comes up. He's in a horrible funk. Why in the world would you put him in and take out Perez?
And no, I'd have to go back at when they. I'd have to go back at when they did that. But I'm sure it was a situation where they needed the pitcher spot. It was probably a double switch. I'd have to go back and look at it. Bill, I will say this though: the numbers are pretty staggering when you're looking at lefty versus lefty. It's just not a good situation. I think yesterday's starter, was it Hamels? Yeah. I think he had cleared by the time Shaw got in the game. Did he not?
I don't remember that for sure. I think so.
I think he did.
Yeah.
And that's why you do that.
No, yesterday they put Shaw in two pinch hit for Perez in the eighth inning.
Yes.
Yeah, and was, I don't know, was that, that was the what inning?
The eighth.
Okay.
So he got in the eighth. He still managed three at-bats because it went so darn long yesterday.
And strikeouts. He managed strikeouts.
A couple of strikeouts, right?
And a walk, yeah. I mean, Perez couldn't have done any worse.
Well, HB, man, this goes on, the more he is underrated for sure.
Yes,
I would agree there.
Yep.
All right, Bill, thanks. Thanks. 799-1250. We'll take a break. Continue to have a conversation about the Brewers and the Cubs weekend series. There's a learning kind of series here. Again, conditions and lefties. Did the Brewers, when you think about it, and we had made mention of this in Arizona and early on in the season, did they maybe go too left-handed? Because Gamble's a lefty too.
Yeah.
You have, you know, that situation. There's another. I don't know if it's anything they could have done, but it's something that occurred, and that's no Ryan Braun for the final two games of the series. And essentially, you know, for the most part, the 15 innings yesterday and all through, what, 7 innings here tonight, was a one-run game.
Mm-hmm.
And that may have had the difference. You can't argue. You can't do that differently. You can't force feed horrible conditions, cold weather, and then force a guy that's having a hammy issue in there. I mean, there's not that one. You just throw your arms up and say, bad timing. 799-1250, 4-1 the final as the Brewers fall in this game, and they lose the series 2-1. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
All right, welcome back. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall 4-1 in game three of this three-game weekend set in Chicago. Rain, horrible conditions. I wonder, I just wonder if Rain, Brewers, Cubs, and Wrigley all have something in common because of the no rain, rain out, then things like that. Guys, think about it. The Brewers admittedly were being cautious, not playing Ryan Braun. Wasn't because he couldn't go. It was because of conditions that made them lay off him running around in left field at Wrigley. Rain. That's just some bad luck. I'll tell you that right now. That's bad luck. If it weren't rainy, he was playing. If not yesterday, for sure today. Hamstring is tough. When it's cold and rainy, trust me, I know. Believe me, I know. Who's hot, who's not, brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, as they're providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Who's hot? The Cubs, 12 of 14. They have won. Think about that.
Yeah, that's turned it around, man.
That's rattling things off. And the Brewers just coming off a seven-game winning streak. They fall yesterday in 15. And keep your eyes on that 15-inning game yesterday. Just earmark that as sort of a little bit of a tipping point because, man, they go to Philly. Philly's a tough out. They go to Philly for a big four-game set starting tomorrow and more rain. You going to let Ryan Braun run around in left field tomorrow?
You better.
Yeah, if he's available to go, it could be a monsoon you're playing Ryan Braun.
Yeah, you have to. You've got to put a stop to this now. Like you said, with as hot as the Cubs are, there is no way that you could afford to even lose, you know, 4 or 5, 4 or 6. You need to turn it around. You need to turn it around quick. You're going on the road against another tough ball club. You need all hands on deck. Now, I will tell you, I was pleasantly surprised, Tim, because, you know, with this game, there were a lot of bad Brewer at-bats overall. You know, I thought a lot, you know, getting striking out looking and stuff like that with guys in scoring position was awful. But no one really looked tired after that 15-inning affair, with the exception of Grandal. He had problems catching the ball a little bit today.
Today?
Well, you know, for a while now, but today it was pretty noticeable. There was a ball right at the bottom of the strike zone that he didn't get. And it, you know, it was a ball, but it only missed the strike zone by about an inch and a half.
Right. No, so, he's. I'll give him credit on pitch framing. I got no problem with that.
Absolutely.
I'm not giving him credit on the rest of his defense. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm not. And they're going to skate through this season, and they know it. They know it, and we knew it last year with that debacle of a game in the NLCS that Grandal had in a Dodgers uniform. They're going to get by with his offense and his pitch framing. I'm good with that. I am. I'm perfectly fine with that. Now, would I sign this guy to a long-term deal? Between you and I, ain't no way I would do that. No chance. I think he's going to play a big part in their success this year, offensively and pitch framing. The rest of it, I hate ripping on the guy. I really do, but I got to be honest. Everyone's seeing it.
Yeah.
Everybody's seeing the catching. That's not why they lost. That's really not.
No, it's not why they lost. And, you know, Grandal is lucky that so many other Brewers hitters were struggling, you know, are struggling. Shaw, Jesus, Thames is having a rough go as of late. You know, HP is back under 250. Moustakas is sitting at 250. You know, so Kane is under 250.
Yep.
So he's been lucky that so many guys are struggling that the magnifying glass hasn't really been placed on him yet. But eventually it's going to be. And right now he's not passing the eye test.
this offense obviously is built around home runs. I mean, can we all agree on that?
Of course.
Yeah. When you have conditions that are bad, wind blowing in and rain, and you have lefties to your lefty thump offensively, you're going to struggle for runs. And that's why I give hats off. Who's hot category? The Brewers pitching. They did an outstanding job this weekend. They did. They did their job, both the bullpen as well as the starters. Mm-hmm. They were outstanding this weekend. They gave up 6 runs in the series, guys. And they lost the series 2-1. I mean, that's tough. Another guy who's in, I would say for sure, I don't know about both categories. You tell me. I read this, let's see, Journal Sentinel had this, and they acted as if, like, Corbin Burns was just this monster in the bullpen. Overall, his numbers are 0-3, a 9.2 ERA, because we all know Corbin Burns, what he did starting. In relief, however, 0-1 with a 4.76 ERA in 4 appearances. How about that? Mm. Is that who's hot and not?
Well, I wouldn't call 4.76 ERA hot.
That's what I'm saying. They alluded to that, that it was like, wow, he turned things around. He's going to be a big part. And really, a guy like Jacob Barnes, you look at his numbers and say, oh, man, whoa. Wait a second. 10 of 12 appearances, he's been scored less.
Yeah. Yeah, Barnes has gotten nailed by 2 bad outings.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 bad outings, 10 awesome outings, and his ERA is shot.
And you're looking at a guy that had 49 appearances in 2018. 49 appearances last year with a 3.3 earned run average.
Yeah.
So he's back up as they made a roster move. Burt Smith was sent back down. 799-1250. We'll take a break. Get more of your reaction. We'll hear from Christian Yelich. One of the things that I enjoyed, one of the things, I'll stick with that. We're a few, but there were this more than ever. As a telecast, I enjoyed a lot because you got the inside scoop a little bit. Yelly was mic'd up. We've got some audio on Jeremy Jeffress. He talks about the seafood trailer that he's got, JJ's bread and butter. And then Craig Counsell interviewed from the dugout during the game. And that's some cool stuff. Sunday Night Baseball, I think ESPN does a pretty decent job in doing their thing. And it's nice to hear Matt Vasgersian call a Brewers game as well. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers fall in the final game of this 3-game set, 4-1 final.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Well, the good news, the Brewers are 24-18 here in the championship season of 2019. So that's overall sort of the good news.
Very respectable.
The bad news is they've lost 2 in a row. And who got lit up in this one? A 4-1 Brewers loss. Adrian Houser was in to pitch a couple of innings, and it was mop-up duty. And I just wonder if that will impact tomorrow's start. Freddy Peralta's next start, will that be an opener with a Jacob Barnes? Will that be somebody else opening? Or do they just hand the ball back to Freddy and say, hey, here, first inning Freddy, there you go.
I want to say that they're not going to do that with Freddy because Counsell sounded pretty convinced in, you know, after the last start with Houser as the opener and then Freddy coming in and pitching well, that they were going to do the same thing again. You know, he basically said eventually they're going to go back to using Freddie to actually start the game. But it didn't sound like it would be his next start. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is Barnes or if they, you know, maybe it's a Wilkerson. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Houser is probably on his way out. And then they bring up Wilkerson. I could see that. I mean, you're on the cusp of Chase Anderson being back here within a few days, I would think. So you've got that. So that's good news. And you're ready to go with Hader, Claudio, Jeffress, that Philly team. And that's tough. And again, yes, the Brewers did lose the series here. When you think about it, win one of the next two games. Just make sure you win one of the next two. Is that worse through the first five of the 10? You're 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
At the worst. And this is a tough go, man. This is a tough 10-gamer. Into Chicago, into Philly for four, and Philly's good. And then the Braves are always tough down there in Atlanta.
Yep.
That's a tough 10-gamer. So, again, biggest game of the year is always the next game. I get that. But all hell doesn't break loose. If you lose tomorrow, you better make sure you win on Tuesday if you don't tomorrow. And maybe, you know, get this rain out of here. Maybe a rain out wouldn't be such a bad thing for these guys.
You know, it couldn't hurt. And, you know, it's tough because you lose the marathon yesterday with Zach Davies on the hill. You lose today with Chacin on the hill. And, you know, now you look forward and it's like, ? Gio. And then, you know, you get back to, you know, the heart of your rotation. But
get back to Woody. And, you know, I think the pitching's been pretty good, guys. I mean, I shouldn't even say pretty good. Pitching's been very good.
It has been. But, you know, you're going to tell me that you don't have even the slightest bit of doubt about tomorrow?
Well, I do if Freddie starts. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident in Woodruff, Gio, Chacin, Davies. I do. I think they have really solidified things and settled in a little bit. And you've seen it here, as you said, throughout this series. Been a good series for the Brewers starters, for sure. And the bullpen has done a yeoman's effort, man. They really did. A 15-inning game will tax you a little bit. And you're gonna pay some. You talk about the Brewers had a rougher time through 15 innings than the Cubs did, because they did get at least, what did they get out of Hamill? 7?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got 4 out of Chatwood. So there's 11 of the 15 right there with two guys.
Oh, I know. And, you know, it was funny because I sat there and after the show last night, you know, I go home and get the kids to bed and I'm scrolling Twitter and there's people blaming Birch Smith. And how could you blame Birch? You know, the kid isn't here to go 4 innings in a game.
No.
He goes 3 1/3 before he gave up the walk-off dinger, but he pitched well. And, you know, yes, he gave up the winning run, but it's not his job to go out there for 4 straight. You know, he took one for the team, and, you know, there were idiots out there, oh, God, this guy sucks, and, you know, no. No, yeah, that was one hell of an outing for him.
Yeah, the difference in the timing and where you're placed in a baseball game. It's funny how we look at those report cards. And yeah, and you're right, 3 1/3 of one run ball. If he'd have done that from the third through into the seventh of a game in which your starter got knocked out, everyone would be saying, wow, look at Birch Smith, man. 3 1/3 of one-run ball.
This kid's got a ton of promise.
That's right. Hey, let's hear that audio from Christian Yelich, who was mic'd up. And it was pretty cool to see how much fun and to hear how much fun he has on a baseball field, man. It really is. He had a chance on the ESPN Sunday night television broadcast to chat with A-Rod, and A-Rod knows what it's all about to achieve and have high success. But A-Rod and Christian Yelich.
Why baseball when you have so many options?
Yeah, I played all those sports growing up. I played baseball, basketball, football, and when I got to high school, I figured I wanted to see how far baseball could take me. I didn't really know. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go to college, play in the minor leagues, or play in the big leagues, and I wanted to dedicate all my time and energy to that and just see where it could go.
In the last 74 games or so, you hit above 360, you had more than 25 home runs and 70-something RBIs. I mean, those are like Bugs Bunny numbers.
Yeah.
Walk me through your mind. What happened? What shifted? What was the pivot?
I took a couple days during the All-Star break, the All-Star game. I didn't really hit BP on the field, didn't do any of that. I took a few flips before the game and then played in the game. And then the next day we have off, and the next day you start the second half. And I was looking at some video, and I was like, well, whenever I'm doing well or driving the baseball, I'm on time. I'm a little earlier, and I have a little bit of a it's not really a pause, but it's a little bit of a hang and then go. I was a little more spread out, and you can't really pause here because your balance and your center of gravity is not really there. It's, once you're here, you're going. And so I went from probably here to here, squared off my shoulders a little bit, and that was that.
So now you're locked in. Yeah. It was what your body position is.
Yeah, I was just here. Like, I'd be, pitcher would go. I get to this position, you'd be able to see it early. And for me, I was working like this to the ball, where it was just clean, and I was striking it correctly. I wasn't trying to get deep or swing up. I feel like your barrel's in the zone for this long. I wanted to get in the zone early and just be able to stay through it, give myself this much room to hit the ball instead of, you know, this much.
The key word now, the buzzword, is launch angle.
Right.
Where do you sit on the table when it comes to launch angle versus kind of old school going down to the ball?
It gets misinterpreted sometimes. I think people think launch angle and they think swing up. Mm-hmm. And you guys have such good stuff. They throw so hard now that that's not going to work. Anybody can do that off front toss or BP where you know the same speed, the same relative location of the ball. You can do that in the cage. It looks great. All the hit track systems are like, oh, this is amazing. But when the game starts, it's a completely different story. The scouting reports, guys are throwing four-seam fastballs right here at 100 miles an hour, and it's just not going to work.
Matty Jess, he makes it sound so easy, and it is so difficult to do. But forget the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. What I was most impressed by spending some time with him this spring was how humble he was and how comfortable he was in his own skin. Very difficult at 27 to be that good and that comfortable.
Yeah, I noticed during the broadcast, too, they had a poll going of the greatest trades in history, and the Christian Yelich trade getting some love historically. And the debate was whether or not to lock him up to like an 8-year deal or something right now. It's interesting. We'll get to that this week. It definitely is an interesting conversation. Maybe it would be to their advantage to do that. However, as Jess said there early in the broadcast, that they're getting a steal of a deal, and that's a quote. And we are as Brewer fans, they are as an organization. Getting a steal of a deal when you don't have to pay for that kind of talent. He's worth clearly double what he's making right now. 799-1250. Hey, Mike in Greenfield, you're on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen. I'm trying to tell myself that it's, you know, I don't know. I thought they were to the point where Chicago didn't make them nervous or anything, but they hitting into double plays and watching the called strike, you know, maybe it's good they're being patient instead of swinging all the way. But making bad mistakes, like what Rodriguez was saying, you know, maybe that was just that one play, I hope, because he's paid to announce. And since he's paid so much money, he's going to pick up some stuff. He was right, but and that's the frustrating thing. So I guess my point is this. The pitching is coming around, and one of your guys told me that it was a good trade for the new pitching coach. And I said, well, I hope it takes time. And there's the pitching starting to come around, but
it is. It is, Mike. The pitching's been dynamite. All right, Mike, enjoy your night. But the pitching, yeah, the pitching's been dynamite, man. It has been lately, and we'll go with that. However, we went through this last year just a little bit. It was a little bit deeper into the season, and it was when all of us Brewers fans and broadcasters were trying to figure out how Council was using Josh Hader. When did they unleash him? And it's clear to me, not just regarding Josh Hader, but a game like this tonight. Adrian Hauser found himself in the seventh inning of a Cub-Brewer game, and it was a one-run difference. That one run is huge. And what Mike was alluding to was a Jesus Aguilar play where he was gunned down at the plate.
Yeah.
That play goes different. First of all, if it's any other offensive player on the roster, I think they score that run.
Right.
So, I mean, you talk about the bad stars lining up. That's the one guy you probably wouldn't want there at that time. I even think Thames probably scores on that play.
Yeah.
He's a little jumpy anyway, so he probably gets a good jump. But
well, and he would have scared the bejesus out of Wilson Contreras with Eric Thames barreling down on you and those big guns.
It's funny how one run does make a difference to Craig Counsell. Now, you could look at it this way, too. You're on the roster. You're in that bullpen. You're there to do your job. And Adrian Houser needs to do his job better. Was Adrian Houser the reason they lost this game today? No. No, but maybe just the stars line up a little bit differently. Maybe Kinsler in the eighth is pitching just a little bit tighter, knowing it's a one-run game instead of a three-run game. I mean, you don't know. I seem to think with this type of offense, despite their struggles in this series, I think that a one-run game with two innings left is a game. And I know Craig Counsell believes that too, because he trusts his guys out there. But watch who he goes with the score tied or a one-run lead in the seventh inning. It's a whole hell of a lot different than Adrian Houser. I can promise you that. And that's the difference. That's why, man, every play, don't get lulled to sleep in a baseball game in the first, second, or third inning. We saw Lorenzo Cain miss first base on a ball into the corner. And then Yelich hits into a double play. Instead of a runner on third with one out, you got nobody on and two outs. Huge difference when the score was 2-1 through 6.5 innings. It's crazy.
Well,
one of the reasons, Jeff, why I love the game of baseball.
Another part of it, Tim, you know, the Brewers did pound out 9 hits today.
They did.
So you get 9 hits to go along, you know, they only walked twice, but you got 9 hits and 2 walks, and you only get 1 run out of it. So they're not stacking hits in the same inning.
They're not.
It's a lot of one-hit innings, one-hit double plays, stuff like that. You know, it's just it's timely hitting. You can have 9 hits and score 1 run, or you could have 5 hits and score 4 runs.
Or 7 runs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of it is the timing, and they're just not able to capitalize and put, you know, walk, hit, you know, 2 hits and a walk, 2 hits and an error or something like that together to get these guys in. So, you know, that's baseball. And it sucks because you lose to the Cubs and, you know, rival and everything like that. But, you know, sometimes that's how it goes.
Rainy days and lefties always get me down. That's what this was. This was lefties and rain. Rain and cold. That doesn't play well for the Brewers, guys. It doesn't. We talk about that in football all the time. You go to Lambeau Field in December and January, you better look out. Okay, Brewers, they play in a dome. They love the nice weather. Most of their players, let's face it, ain't from here.
No.
I mean, they live in Scottsdale. They live in L.A. So when you do have lefties and you get a home run thump type team, which the Brewers are, guys, let's face it. Look at the batting averages. Look at the power numbers. They're a slug team. When you got wind blowing in, rain and cold, outdoor stadium, against a lefty, and you're a heavy lefty-laden team, hey, you're going to scuffle a little bit. And that's not an excuse. I get it. But it does make me feel better to identify it. That's the deal with this team. They can scream from the highest mountain that, nah, man, come on. That's what it was. You saw it the entire series. Left-handers against the Brewers, man. It's tough. It's tough. When your first guy off the bench is a left-handed bat, your first guy off the bench right now is Ben Gamel, lefty. Who's coming? Who's the right-handed? I think they could use a right-handed hitter in this lineup off the bench. Now, granted, not a starter, but off the bench. That would really help this baseball team out considerably, in my opinion.
We'll see. You know, the things that the Brewers have going for them now. Tomorrow, You got Aaron Nola, who's a righty. Nola did mow down the Cardinals one run over six innings his last time out in a game that Philly won 11-1. The bad part, rain. Right around game time, it's going to be less than 50 degrees, and there's a 100% chance of rain tomorrow in Philadelphia.
It's the same rain we're getting now, the same weather we're getting now, just moving, sliding straight east, right with the plane, right with the Brewers charter.
Yep.
You're going to take it right with them into Philly.
And you add the cold weather with 10 to 20 mile an hour winds tomorrow night, you're going to be seeing all these guys wearing those full face masks and stuff out in the field like they were all weekend down in Chicago.
No doubt. We'll take a break. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Brewers fall 4-1.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, man, I still have to hang my hat on the Brewers pitching over the weekend in this series, allowing just two runs yesterday and four today. That's it in the entire series. That is good. Drive of the game in this one, Wrench and Go drive of the game. We go to the fourth inning with the Cubs leading one zip. It was a three-base error that allowed Christian Yelich to reach. I was kind of hoping right there that they'd give Yelly a double and then maybe an extra base on the error. But yeah, just trying to pad some stats for our MVP, that's all. That's all. But Jesus Aguilar followed that three-base error with this, our drive of the game.
You see that? And Aguilar drives in the run. What a fine plate appearance by Jesus Aguilar.
And the challenge, anytime you bring the infield in, it will make a 200 hitter, 300 and 300, 400. Base hit, RBI for Aguilar.
Yeah, and Zeus is starting to come around, guys. That is great news for the Brewers offense, as you're seeing much better at bats. I do believe that strikeouts are bad, and I understand that, and I've said that for years. However, when you're trying to get yourself out of a slump, there's two things that occur, in my experience, that you can see light at the end of the tunnel for a guy that's coming out of a slump. One will be walks, and the other will be strikeouts looking, the backwards K. Because you're so patient. You're okay. You're not freaking out. You're not just flailing. You're not swinging. And Zeus, you saw that. You saw that prior to that series against the Rockies, that you just saw a little different approach. When people talk about approach, that's some of the things that they are looking at by definition of an approach. And Zeus did strike out looking late in the game, two outs, two on. But again, it was a good pitch. I mean, it was. And the umpiring a little bit better tonight. There was a few missed calls, but not too bad in this Brewers 4-1 loss. They lose the series in the game. The record now 24-18. And again, overall in the 10-game road trip into Chicago, Philly, and Atlanta, doesn't get much easier from here. Philly is a good baseball team. They get their first taste of Bryce Harper and company and a good baseball team. And the National League, don't look now, pipe bomb, but the National League is not just the NL Central, but the National League as a whole, dogfight in 2019.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is one heck of a battle right now. It is, like you said, it's going to be a heck of a battle all the way through. There are a lot of good teams. The National League is just straight stacked this year. And it goes, beyond just the Dodgers, and we all know about the three teams in the Central that are going to be there all year long. The Phillies, the Braves, there's a lot of, I don't want to, even though the Mets are one game under 500, I don't want to count them out because of that pitching staff. You got the Padres, they're three games over right now.
Look at the Pirates.
Oh, I know. The Pirates, they're in third place. They jumped the St. Louis Cardinals in the standings. They're three over 500 right now as well.
And the Reds can be a tough out, too. They're, three or four under, but people thought they would be 10 games under by this point. So they can be a tough out. The Nationals are still trying to find themselves for sure. I don't know if you caught this, that Gerardo Parra, little news and note here, Gerardo Parra was released from the Giants, and then the Nationals picked him up, hits a grand slam, big part of a win in the second game in a Nationals uniform, and then he breaks up a no-hitter in the eighth inning against the Nationals. But they can be a tough out, too. That's where the Cubs will find themselves next weekend in D.C., and for the third consecutive week, Matt Vasgersian and company on Sunday Night Baseball will be talking about the Chicago Cubs once again.
The Nationals,
1250.
The Nationals are just a cursed franchise. You know, they're one of those teams. They're like, for me, like the San Diego Chargers, where I don't care if, you know, who they've got on that team, they're not going to win anything. And when it comes down to it and the lights get bright, they shrink and shrivel up. And it happened. We've seen it happen year after year after year. They had all that pitching. They still have fantastic pitching. They had, you know, one hell of a lineup for years, and they just can't deliver.
Yeah, and it was can't deliver at the highest end, too. I would have stuck with Baker just another year, maybe a year and a half. But they decided not to stick with that. I mean, they expected more, and I can appreciate that.
Not me. I hate Dusty Baker. I lived through him when I was still living in Chicago, and no thanks. No thank you.
Well, let's hear Jeremy Jeffress on the ESPN Sunday Night telecast tonight. Pretty good interview with Carl Ravage and company before the game. It was really revealing. He talks about JJ's bread and butter and epilepsy, among other things. So check this out. Jeremy Jeffress prior to the game.
Jeremy Jeffress is kind enough to join us here during Brewers. I guess it's kind of batting practice. Is that what's going on now in a cold and the rain here?
I guess so. little optional BP. Whoever wants to freeze harder.
Hey, Jeremy, it's Mother's Day. I know you've had all sorts of trials and tribulations on your way to where you are now. Explain the role your mom played throughout this whole process.
Very big key for me, just because, me and my dad had a bond that was so tight that he didn't want to hear anything that went on with me unless it was great. So me and my mother, we talked day in and day out, each and every morning, about ins and out of life, and just being a kid and playing the game that you love, man. Because every day she just tells me to strive for greatness and don't take nothing for granted.
And you've done a little bit more than play baseball. I was reading about the food truck and where you grew up and how you wanted to spread that. Is that working? And explain to the people at home what that's about.
My food truck is called JJ's Bread and Butter.
Right.
Seafood on wheels. It's from a place from back home in my hometown. The guy started it, and he ran it for about 40 years from my hometown, dude. And he was only open for 3 days out of the week. And it just sold absolutely crazy. So one day I told his son, Alfred, Al, that whenever I make it big, bro, get my money right, we're taking us all over the world. And we're going to make it for good cause. My truck right now is for epilepsy.
Yep.
You know, something that I'm battling with, too. And, majority of the proceeds are going to that, man, because that's definitely what I care about.
You dealt with childhood epilepsy, and yet that wasn't diagnosed until later in your life. For people who don't know the hurdles that you've jumped over, why don't you share that with them?
Yeah, man. It's something that every time I talk about it, dude, it just brings tears to my eyes, kind of, because, you know, people don't understand it definitely in this game. It's something that I struggle with every day, every single day, and I try to make it through, just because, you know, I don't think anybody understands it to the point where, you know, to the point where it's just like, I don't know where I could be.
Right.
I don't know what could happen to me, you know, within the next day or so, just because I don't know what seizures, you know, do to you. So every day I just try to live my best life and, you know, just play this game the way I know how to play it and just keep living.
Jeremy, you've played on a few different teams. Tell me about this Brewers clubhouse, because it looks like you guys have a blast every single day. Take me inside. Are you guys playing music? You playing cards? You playing jokes on each other? What's an everyday Brewers clubhouse like?
Exactly what you just said. Jokes on jokes on jokes. If you're not on top of your game in this clubhouse, you have a problem. I can tell you that right now. You have a problem. For sure. But everybody in the clubhouse is definitely there for each other, and that's why we are you know, the Milwaukee Brewers Club like this, because we're there for each other each and every day. We don't take none of us for granted. We know each and every how each and every guy works in the clubhouse. And so, you know, we just make sure everybody's comfortable and ready to play the game.
Jeremy, how do you get Christian Yelich out?
Walk him. Double play.
Yeah. Walk him, double play. That's a good
answer. Honestly, man, if you're a pitcher facing Christian Yelich, I mean, your only option to do is attack him and attack him hard, because he's so comfortable up there. You know what I'm saying? He's so comfortable in the box. He knows his plan, and every swing that he takes is not like a, oh man, I didn't want to swing at that. It's something that he's looking to do. And if you're a pitcher facing him, man, you just got to attack him, bro. You have to.
Hey man, thanks very much for letting us get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell your mom we said Happy Mother's Day, and
yes,
thanks
sir.
For sharing
Thank
your story.
Thank you guys, man. I enjoyed this.
Good
guys.
Luck, Jeremy.
Thank you so much.
All right, there he is, Jeremy Jeffress, with Carl Ravage of ESPN. And pretty revealing there from JJ. Number one, about the JJ's bread and butter, well documented here in Milwaukee, but it's about what we thought. A buddy of his, and he admitted that once I get my, you know, financial ducks in a row, man, we're going to take this on the road. And we'd all done the same thing to our buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On the deal. You got to bring something to the table, but I'll financially back us, and we'll go from there. So that really is pretty cool.
Well, and, you know, and JJ's talked about it before, and he gave a lot of props to the Brewers as an organization for letting him set up in the parking lot at Miller Park, you know, because it's not like JJ's using this to get rich. I'm sure, you know, he's making something, and I'm sure his buddy's getting paid as well. But it's not like he's just lining his pockets. You heard him talk about the epilepsy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could hear the emotion in his voice. This is why Jeffress is my favorite Brewer. And I love that guy. And, you know, he's real. He seems like a normal dude that if he wasn't the star that he is, that you would, you know, if you were sitting at some crappy hole-in-the-wall bar, my favorite type. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a dude that you could just belly up to the bar with and, you know, not, you know, have no idea who the heck he was, and you could just sit and drink and talk with that guy all night long.
Yeah, indeed. And I thought it was very, very revealing, as you said, about the epilepsy. And I think we forget sometimes that these dudes are human beings, and we do our best, at least I do, and the show has over the years, to remind you guys. Sometimes we forget sometimes. Certainly I forget sometimes. I idolize some of these guys over the years. I forget that they go through the same things. When they get done with work, hey, man, they deserve a social life too. They do. Now, with responsibility, just like you and I. But the challenge that he's got, he's right. And what I know of epilepsy is that you seize up, man. You don't know the outcome of this. You don't know how it's going to impact you. Does it set you down for 3 or 4 days? Does it set you down for 2 weeks? Does it put you on the unemployment line? Because, you know, all different things can happen. And not obvious statement, but not a good thing. And they're doing their best to control it. And really, it's rather refreshing to hear him talk about it. It is.
It is. You know, these guys, like you said, they're human. They sit there, go through the same things we do. You know, I'm sure that if Birch Smith was married, he would have got home yesterday, you know, served up the game-winning home run, and then, you know, he walks in the door and his old lady's complaining because he left his socks on the bedroom floor.
Right.
You know, they're dealing with the exact same crap we are. Yes, they live in a nicer house, but that's probably about the only difference. They got the same health issues. They got the same woman issues, man issues, friend issues, got the crazy friend that is always asking for money, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it definitely, and JJ did a great job of putting the human aspect into, you know, how you view him as a person and baseball players in general.
Travis Shaw had a challenge with his newborn last year, and then Jimmy Nelson had some challenges with newborns, and Jimmy Nelson pitched. And we're going to have that for you next, because there's some good news and maybe a bump in the road there in terms of the line. We'll have that for you next. Brewers fall. Game three and the final game of this three-game weekend set, 4-1 the final. We'll be back on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at FFPWI.com.
All right, a little forward thinking after the Brewers' 4-1 loss here in the third and final game of this weekend set in Chicago as they fall 4-1. Jimmy Nelson, he pitched yesterday, and that is good news. That's good news. He did pitch. The other good bit of good news, 84 pitches in the performance. Now, I just wonder. You went, by the way, 5 1/3, allowed 5 hits, 3 earned runs, a couple of home runs given up, just a walk. But I just wonder with the length that they're allowing him to go, I didn't read anything about velocity. So that's the one thing that is the outlier here, where that velocity would be. I don't think it's an issue. But through the two starts, a 6-plus ERA, so that's not good. A little forward thinking is, what do they do when they deem him ready to go? Because he's already at the AAA level. These are rehab starts. So the next step is to pitch in the big leagues for this baseball team. It does put in for a good thought, a little forward thinking, with our friends at Forward Financial Partners at FFPWI.com. I just wonder if they turn him loose, just shove him in the rotation, welcome back Jimmy, and off you go.
You know, I would be careful, you know, just because 3 or 4 starts does not a spring training make. And yes, he did throw 84 pitches, which is, you know, deeper than any of those guys throw in spring training getting ready for the season.
They're deeper than a lot of pitchers are going in the big league level here for this team.
I know. It's just he's missed so much time. So much time.
But what would be the next step, though, then? You know what I mean? So if it is a slower process, then why would they be unleashing him to say, hey, man, carte blanche, go ahead, do your thing. You're a regular starting pitcher in the game of baseball. Just if you can get through 7 innings, through 80, 85 pitches, fine. If you get through 4 2/3 and whatever it is, go for it. 70, 80, there's no restrictions here on you. What would then, again, be the next step then? If 3 or 4, I get that part, 3 or 4 outings, I would definitely go more than 3 or 4 outings. So you're looking at still, in my book, at the earliest, another 3 weeks from today. That would be me at the earliest. But what would yours be?
I would give him 3 more starts down there.
Okay.
And especially with the way that the Brewers starters are throwing the baseball now, there is definitely not the rush to bring him up that there was when all 3 of the young guys were struggling at the outset of the season. You know, if he would have had 2 to 3 rehab starts right at the beginning of the year, I would have rushed him and brought him up right away because of how bad the young guys were struggling. Now that everything is settled down and they're finding their own groove and stuff is going right, and yes, you know, the Brewers did just drop 2 out of 3.
Their pitching was outstanding.
Their pitching was great. And so, you know, I don't panic on this, which completely flies in the face of what I say with Josh Hader, that, you know, if you're throwing him 1 inning, he better go 3-4 days in a row. I don't do the kid gloves with Hader. You know, for me, with him, it's big boy pants time and time to show that you've got the rubber arm and can go out there day after day after day after day. But with Nelson and how much time he's missed, I do the kid glove treatment with him. like I said, I would give him three more starts. That, you know, that puts him at another 2 weeks.
And I think there's, yeah, that's about another two weeks or so. And that coincides with a 30-day rule. I think there is, they need to make a move within 30 days of him and that first rehab. So that does line up right there. I mean, the other factor here is you do have Chase Anderson that's bounced in and out of the rotation. Is that a possibility for Nelson? You've had Corbin Burns bounce in and out of the rotation. Is that a possibility for Nelson that he bounces in and out of the rotation and the bullpen?
He doesn't seem like a bounce around guy. Nelson was so good that I don't, you know, with Corbin Burns, you can do it because he's a young guy. With Chase Anderson, you can do it because he almost pitched himself out of the league. And, you know, he's had some really good starts before his finger blew up and all that he's, you know, he should be coming back really soon from. So you've got more help on the way without Jimmy Nelson for that starting rotation, which has been strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're just, to me right now, getting Jimmy Nelson back right now seems like an embarrassment of riches for the Brewers, as weird as that sounds.
And a lot can happen.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. A lot can happen. So just, I'm good with that too. Three more starts. So you're looking at,
he started yesterday.
Weeks.
Yeah. So you're looking at 2.5 more weeks.
And I know it was 6 days between the two starts. So they do have him extended out one additional day, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's good news. I'm not looking at necessarily the line. And the line's, all in all, not that bad either. I mean, it's 5 1/3, 3 runs. It's not 13 runs.
And he still got the win yesterday and all that. But the lines don't matter, because when Jeremy Jeffress was making his rehab appearances down there, he was getting straight lit up.
Yeah.
And JJ has come up here, and he, you know, there was one or two outings that he struggled, but he has been pretty
good
money since he's been up here now, and I expect the same thing with Nelson.
Big time. We'll take a break. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here after a Brewers 4-1 loss. Final tonight once again was 4-1, and hats off to the Brewers pitching in this three-game set, as they allowed just 6 runs and I believe just 5 earned in the three-game series. But they fall in the series 2-1. Their record now 24-18 here in the 2019 championship season. Find themselves a couple of games back of front-running Chicago, and they're off on this 10-game road trip, 3 in. 4 big ones at Philly, and I would think buckle in. It could be a long night tomorrow in Philadelphia. Now, the good thing is nobody likes to play doubleheaders. I think fans, I like doubleheaders. I mean, I always have, ever since I was a little kid.
Me too.
Players do not, organizations do not. It really taxes a bullpen for the day, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's plenty of reasons to fight against a doubleheader, but keep in mind, they're in Philadelphia for 4 days. So if there is a big-time amount of rain, then they could probably squeeze in the doubleheader Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday. Thursday is a day game. And that would be a travel day for the Brewers. They would head down to Atlanta from there. So not necessarily a horrible flight from Philly to Atlanta. Not like you're going, you know, East Coast to West Coast. But
yeah.
Just watch for the rain. Could be a long night tomorrow as the Brewers face the Phillies in game one of a 4-game set. Spark of the game in this one brought to you by Current Electric. I would say Jesus Aguilar, a couple of hits, including an RBI, played a fine defense again today, a 3-6-3 double play. I love it. It's one of my favorite plays in baseball, 3-6-3.
Yeah, I love it too. You know, it's just, it's like poetry in motion, man, and I don't want to sit there and get all philosophical on it, but it's one of my favorite plays also.
It's made tougher when you have a right-handed first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the lefty, that's a little bit easier for the 3-6-3, but Zeus has done his fair share of 3-6-3s. I just love it. There's your spark of the game with Current Electric. And that's going to do it for us, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. We're going to meet you here again tomorrow night after game one in Philly, pending game, rain, delay, suspension, whatever it'll be. We're going to be here if the game goes final. And we have had that in the years, Pipe Bomb, where it was a suspended game. There was a game down in Miami, I want to say 2008-ish.
Okay.
That it was a tie game, and it was washed out. So a suspended means there's no game, really. So there.
But you still did the show, right?
No.
No?
Because there's no... There's no last pitch of the game.
Oh, yeah, you still got to do the show.
They got to make up the game.
Yeah, but you do it like a halftime show. Even if it was 30 minutes, I would have gone on and said something.
Well, we're changing the policy then.
But I'll tell you, well, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not here tomorrow. But, the one thing I do hate is I hate the day-night doubleheader. I think that, if there's a rainout, say there's a rainout tomorrow and they choose, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to have it, do your fans a favor and just have it a legit doubleheader. One ticket gets you both games.
Oh, I liked it years ago at County Stadium when the old Twi-Night doubleheader.
Yeah.
It was called, yeah.
There were times, man, for, Christmas presents, stuff like that for my dad. I would hunt out doubleheader day and buy those tickets because, my dad, he wasn't a huge sports guy, but I knew that I was going to watch at least 13, 14 innings.
Yeah, and we never lasted all 18 either. It was
right.
Like, man, time to go. We're in the fifth inning of game two, and I'm like, no, do we have to go now?
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. So after the last pitch, pending, you make the switch, and we'll meet you right here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios. For Nick Bodie, Jeff Orlowski, my name is Tim Allen. Join Baby Tosh and myself tomorrow night after game one in Philly. And despite the outcome, the good news, Brewers pitching is good these days. And they are 24-18. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.